rest is always up to you, and it has to do with your heart. Now, today, we're going to provide you with a teaching experience on worship. And so it'll be a little bit different than our normal order of worship, and because it's a teaching. Today is a teaching worship service on the power of Scripture and the power of song in our lives. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and exhort one another and say, let's be a great choir. Go ahead, turn to. Let's be a great choir. Got it? Okay, since we are a choir, let us all stand together and do the prelude. Please be seated, choir. Now, we need to pray first. That was the prelude. Lord, I ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here as we come and worship you. I pray that you would pour out your glory upon us, your Shekinah glory, and cover us as we worship and bring all of us into your presence. I pray that you equip us who are up here on the stage, that we would be your people leading in worship and bringing us to that environment where we can worship. Be with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a teaching on worship. Churches have choirs and worship leaders and singing and music. In traditional churches, sometimes the choirs actually become a substitute group of musical experts for the congregation. Choirs and worship leaders were never intended to be a substitute to your worship, where the congregation kind of becomes spectators and watch the musicians and the choir, but in a lot of churches, that is exactly what happens. I grew up in a large church, and most of the time, the congregation were spectators of the choirs rather than participants in worship. Everybody enjoyed and evaluated the performance. Sometimes it was inspiring. Sometimes it wasn't done very well. Sometimes it was seasonal and expected. And a lot of people, including some of us, think of sermons like that, don't you? I mean, I get graded every Sunday from A to F. Now, actually, there's nothing wrong with that unless it substitutes for your worship. I want us to use the Word of God, the Scriptures this morning, to help us understand the power of music and the combination with that of the Word. In 1 Chronicles 25, there's a picture of how a choir of sorts was put together, which can help us understand those involved in the music life of our congregation. By the way, these are them. Some of them. I want us to read together 1 Chronicles 25, verses 1 and 68. Here we go. David and the chiefs of the service also set apart for the service certain of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with lyres, with harps, and with cymbals. Now, before we the list of those in verses 2 through 5 is a bunch of names of those that were involved. Let me tell you their names. Okay, verse 6. They were all under the direction of their father in the music in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the order of the king. The number of them, along with their brethren, who were trained in singing to the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288. And they cast lots for their duties, small and great, teacher and pupil alike. Now, this group was made up of leaders in the army and others. They were to lead the people in worship. This group was to prophesy from the Word of God, which means that they were to preach, teach, and interpret God's Word in Scripture and to lead the people into the presence of God through worship. So it was worship through music and the Word, not just music and not just teachings from Scripture, like I do on Wednesday night. When Israel was at its best as a nation of people, it was because the government, that is the king and the leaders, sought the Lord through worship in the context of God's Word in an environment of music. So out of this context of worship, through music and the Word, God would direct and govern His people, and the Word of the Lord was given. In verse 3, which is in this scripture, it's not printed here, it says that they prophesied with lyre, both thanksgiving and praise. They were guitar pickers. We got a few of those back here. This guy by the name of Jeduthun was the lead picker. And it was through his leadership and skills that the people were brought to worship in a powerful way. Now, the choir and the band was made up of ordinary people, and a lot of them were also military. So the people knew that both song and warfare were not separate issues, but were in fact closely linked on a spiritual level. And so that's what was taking place. Spiritual warfare strategy involves people who understand the power of song linked to the living Word of God in Scripture. And prophecy was bringing the Word to life in preaching and in music. And so we have a picture of people of warfare using the Word of God and song, and they were just ordinary people like you and me, and they were a people made up of warriors and workers who were the people of the Word who used music to bring to life God's power and prophecy. Now, music is not just for a few people. It's for all of us. And when we say, let's be a great choir, it is a statement that we are a congregation who knows how to do battle in the name of the Lord. We are a people who know to speak the living Word and who live the Scriptures rather than just reading them and studying them. Warriors and workers who are the people of the Word. Now, we're going to focus on music and the truth that it contains and the message that it brings as we sing in worship. Now, we do this actually every Sunday in one form or another, but I want us to focus on the truth of worship. And the first focus word that I want to talk about is praise. And we're going to begin with the word praise. So let the Word of Scripture focus us on praise. Now, I have Psalm 146, 147, 150, and 149 laid out here, and I would like for us to just read them through. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for He is gracious, and a song of praise is seemly. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty firmament, praise Him for His mighty deeds, praise Him according to His exceeding greatness, praise Him with trumpet sound, praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with timbrel and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the faithful. Now, one thing about the last verse that we just read, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. We have been doing that here in church since 1998 in the fall when we started a contemporary worship service. And you need to know, this is my definition. What I mean by contemporary is that we sing songs but written by people who aren't dead yet. That's my definition of contemporary. Because if they're not dead yet, that makes them new. So we're going to sing like a choir today. Now, I have my Harry Potter's wand here, so we're going to add a little magic to this, I hope. Praiseth. It's up there. You see that stuff going up? So now we're going to be like a choir, so I want you to scoot forward on the edge of your seat a little. Come on, got to do this. And we're all going to stand together when I give the signal. You guys ready?
Yep.
Okay. This is the way we're going to do it. I will lead you, and we'll all stand together at the same time, and it will be very majestic. Right? Here we go. Okay, choir. Yeah, you need a little practice there, too. Turn to the person next. I'm so glad to be in such a great choir with people like you. It's kind of like a wedding. I have to go through these things a few times, usually with the men. Praise. We have looked at that word. I want to switch to faith in terms of the worship through the word and song. And the word for this comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Let's read it together. Here we go. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father, through him. Now, if you look closely at that scripture, the combining of teaching, preaching, study with singing and music is fundamental to our Christian lives. Long ago, in a galaxy far, far away, people used to come to church with both a Bible and a hymnal. Those were the two books of faith and worship. With the passing of years and the changing of technology, people don't bring either to church anymore. Now, you may have the Bible in your phone, but I'll bet not all of you. When I came to Woodland Chapel 20 years ago, there were no Bibles readily available in worship. This was before cell phones and all that. I came to a church with little connection to the Bible, and as a whole, the Bible was just pretty much absent. And one of the first things that I did was I got Bibles put in the pews. And since I preached from the Bible, I also ran the scripture in the bulletins. That way I know that you at least have the scripture for the day with you. We use the Bible in church. It is eternally significant for our worship. Today, I'm intentionally raising to your consciousness the connection of singing and music in worship. We sing new songs, contemporary songs, and you know what my definition for that is, written by people who aren't dead yet. We also, on occasion, sing old songs written by people who are dead. Sometimes we combine old and new songs together like we did with How Great Thou Art. And by doing this, what we're doing is we're making sure that our faith isn't dead yet. I've seen enough dead Christians to know. So let me raise up to you the biblical principle concerning our personal faith and our congregational faith. It has to do with the combining of the Bible and music, word and song. And the Bible leads us to know that the power of the living word penetrating our lives is coupled with song. In this scripture that we just read, I don't know if you see it, but the Apostle Paul weaves together the importance of song with the word in your life of faith. This is a biblical principle and has been throughout the history of God's people, from Israel to the church through the centuries. Songs are intended to be a means of inspiration, of worship, of instruction, of fortifying the soul with a reminder that there is this truth that applies to our life situations. There are some things that can't be said with words, but can only be expressed from the soul with song. And when it comes to our faith experience in this life, song can give us a better handle on certain things than just speaking about them. And as Paul wrote in the scripture we read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and sing hymns and spiritual songs, teach and admonish one another. Okay, choir? Pay attention. Ah, don't get up till I say so. Mother, may I? Here we go. We're going to have to do this again. We got one person. Turn to the person next to you. We really are a great choir. We really are. The next focus in worship and song and scripture is spiritual warfare and victory. Now, the scripture is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It actually is the whole chapter, but I picked out a few verses to give you the picture. This is the word of God, okay? It's in Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 to 4, 14 to 17, 20 to 22. Now, let me read it to you, because this is what I learned in seminary, is how to read some of these words. I want you to join with me when we get to verse 21. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, the Levite, of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, hearken, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, fear not and be not dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Got to stop. There's a word for somebody here. Fear not, be not dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. On with the scripture. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, and be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. Now read with me verse 21 and 22. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy array as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed, or rooted, depends on how you say it. Now, this is a picture of God's people winning a battle as a result of their song. These people come up against Judah in battle, after prayer and fasting, counsel, proclaiming the word of God amongst themselves, and they go against them in battle, and God ambushes them somehow, and the reason is that the choir is out in front of the army singing. Now, there is something about the power of God that confounds evil and overwhelms darkness. There is something about song that drives back the things that will destroy us. And I would like us to sing a song about battle that we have been singing for the last few months. And my prayer is, Lord, remove some of the insulation. A means of victory in and of themselves. And certain songs remind us of the spiritual warfare that we're actually involved in. And I want us to sing an old song now. You may not think it is old, but it is. It's about 100 years old, and it came out of the charismatic Pentecostals. And maybe we ought to let our hearts and our voices kind of just rattle the gates of hell a little as we do it. So are you ready, choir? Let's sing. Now remember, the presence and power of the Lord is given to us. We express it in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and there is truth of victory in Jesus' name. The next word I want to focus on through word and the song is peace. And I have several psalms here that I've got printed, but Psalm 42 and Psalm 23. But let's just read Psalm 42, verse 8 together. Here we go. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at his song is with me a prayer to the God of my life. Now the scripture says that even in the night times of the soul, the dark nights of the soul, the Lord gives songs. There is peace when otherwise turmoil would rule, and sometimes we really need peace in the midst of the turmoil. Jesus made a declaration in 14:27. Read with me what he said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And I want us to read also Psalm 23. Whenever I read this psalm, it gives me peace. Here we go. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. To the Lord forever. The peace of God keeps our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God. It is God's peace that bears a practical everyday power in our daily walk. Spiritual songs also give us God's peace. You ready? I have to practice with this choir, you know that? The last word I want to focus on is direction in life. We need both scripture and song to guide us in our daily life. We all need direction on a daily basis. I have Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 19 printed in your bulletin. This is a guiding scripture that we use in the awakenings for our high school students, by the way. But let's read it together. Here we go. Therefore it is said, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. The songs that the Lord gives us are a part of the way that we gain direction and guidance in our lives. The Holy Spirit is contrasted in these verses with alcohol, by the way. We're not going to get a whole lot of counsel from the bottle. We need to get our counsel from the Spirit instead of a bottle. But it also says that we are to address one another with song, because songs with the Word are a means of sustaining us and guiding us in this life. Scripture and songs give us guidance and direction in this life. Sometimes we're worried about by circumstance, or we get pressed down by failures in our life. Sometimes we are depressed by things that surround us. Sometimes we are disappointed or wounded. I take tours in some of your lives, and I know that this sanctuary is filled with people right now in different ages, different situations, and doing a lot of different things in their lives in a lot of different places. Some of us are facing crisis and challenge in our lives. Some of us are walking very closely with the Lord Jesus, and some of us are just drifting. We all need guidance and direction in life, so let the Lord be your strength and your song. So I want us to be a great choir again and sing a song that is aimed at our daily walk and direction. And it is an old song, and I have been walking with this song for a lot of years. I just remain standing, but you're going to have to listen to a personal story because it got to me right here. Back about 2004 or 2005, my dad used to come to a church over at Woodland, and the closing song was this song that we just sang, and he was on a walker, and I watched him dance up the aisle. And that's... Know this truth. Jesus is Lord. He takes our sin away. The one who took our sin and was nailed to his cross, and we don't have to bear it anymore. And there might be somebody here today that has not received Jesus as Savior and begun that journey of making him Lord of your life. The invitation is here. Reach out, take his hand. You need Jesus as your Savior. You can come to the Lord this day. Some of us just need a helping hand and an invitation. I want to close with a song that we all know, and I want us to, it's the grace of God that comes to us in amazing grace, and we're going to let it be Lift on Eagle's Wings.